And so what is stated here so matter-of-factly in verse 37, you notice how it's recorded, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's very easy to write. But it was life-changing. And it was the beginning of many disciples. Now, there were those we call the immediate 12 disciples of Christ, and then there were the thousands and thousands that became Christians, that became members of the Christian church. But what made them do it? What was so magnetic? What was so appealing? Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. And we come again to the message of the gospel, the followers of Jesus. That's going to be our message. And I hope that you will stay tuned, join with us as we bring the message of the Lord's Word today. We have now this wonderful hymn, Near to the Heart of God. Then we will have the reading in John chapter 1. And then straight to our pulpit ministry here at the Free Presbyterian Church on those disciples who followed Jesus. And I hope that you will be a follower of Jesus too. And we're coming to the end of this chapter, John chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 35 to the end. And we sung that hymn today, Following Jesus, because we're going to learn here this morning about five men who became followers of the Lord Jesus. One man is not named. The other four are. So I'll let you follow along as we read today, John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two disciples, the two which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Father, we praise thee for gathering us around your word here today. Let your Holy Spirit minister to us. Hide the preacher behind the cross today. Lord, let no man be seen save Jesus only. We pray that each of us will become followers, disciples of the Son of God, and that we will do so all our days and with all our hearts, and that we will glorify thee in our discipleship. We ask it, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Brian, would you mind bringing the volume down a tad? I'm afraid to shout. And I don't like being in that position where I'm not allowed to shout. I trust that everyone hear me clearly, though, and I trust that this will work for everyone. We're coming to this latter part of John's Gospel, and we're looking at the discipleship of these five men, two disciples that were firstly disciples of John, then they became disciples of Jesus, and we only know the name of one of them, that's Andrew. It is suspected that the other one is John. That's the author of this Gospel, John. He had a thing about hiding his name. He often talked about the beloved disciple, but he never gave his name so much. And so we have a sneaking feeling that it's John is the other one, but it's not named. These two disciples, you read of them there in verse 37, they were already disciples of John, and when they heard John speak, they became disciples of the Lord Jesus. And then Andrew, he called his brother Simon, and then we have a mention of verse 43 of Philip, and he went out and he ministered to Nathanael, and all of these became disciples of the Lord Jesus. Now, the first steps in the birth of any movement or organization is, of course, of great interest, and it's usually a great story to hear. How did Canada take shape so that in 1867 it became a nation, a Commonwealth nation? in its own right with a federal government and provinces and territories. Those are is certainly a fascinating story. The iPhone, Apple conglomerate that has changed the world so much, how did it get started? These are all interesting stories. For those that are married, people might ask you, how did you meet? How did this start? You have such a wonderful marriage. How did this begin? And the beginning of some organization or marriage, if in this illustration, is always of a great story to learn. How Christianity began in the face of Rome and its persecution, and how in spite of terror and murder and bloodshed, that the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church, so that sooner or later Christianity became the dominant religion even under Rome. Well, what we have just read and looked at here already today is the beginning. These are the first followers of the Lord Jesus. He came to John's baptizing. He himself was baptized. John began to preach Jesus, the Lamb of God. And these men, just with magnetic drawing force, became disciples of the Lord and consecrated their whole lives to him. And so what is stated here so matter-of-factly in verse 37, you notice how it's recorded, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's very easy to write. But it was life-changing. And it was the beginning of many disciples. Now, there were those we call the immediate 12 disciples of Christ, and then there were the thousands and thousands that became Christians, that became members of the Christian church. But what made them do it? What was so magnetic? What was so appealing? And of course, the same question is still being asked today. Why do people become Christians? Even the most unlikely characters. And sometimes that's how God works. People whom you thought would be born into it, that they would make a very fine Christian, they just don't become disciples. And others who suddenly hear the gospel and have a whole life change to become followers of Jesus, the Son of God. And it is by this means, of course, that the Christian church has flourished down through the centuries. And it's because there is power in the gospel. Paul referred to it as the power of God unto salvation. And until that power works in your heart, you might be a church goer, but you won't be a disciple. You might be called, you know, under the umbrella of Christianity, but in heart and in real life, you don't even begin to become a consecrated follower of the Lord Jesus. You may think that it's the last thing that ever's going to happen to you, that you will sense and experience the call of Christ in your heart. But it's still the power of God and the work of God to do it. There are Andrews and Simon Peters, Phillips, and Nathaniels all around us. Think of Nathaniel under that fig tree. Think of Simon Peter, the fisherman. Think of Andrew. How did he end up hearing of Christ and immediately becoming a disciple? I want us to look at this under three headings here today. The motivation to follow Jesus. We've got to look at that, the motivation. What? Why? What stirred them? Then the practical meaning of following the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, the life change entailed in following the Lord Jesus. You'll notice in verse 38 that when these two former disciples of John followed on in the footsteps of Jesus, the Lord turned around to them and said, "What seek ye?" And here was a deep heart-searching question, drilling down to their very souls, and the Lord asks, why are you following me? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I think it's a whole lot more than just, you know, hearing footsteps behind you and you feel a bit uncomfortable, but this fellow just keeps tagging along. No, they were following in the sense that they wanted to spend their lives in obedience and in service and under the blessing of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. And they were not put off by the question, because their only answer was, Lord, where do you live? We want to dwell with you. In a sense, they avoided the question or evaded the question. They didn't even let it sink in. They said, don't worry about it. We just want to know where you live, because we've decided we are going to be followers. And here is total commitment already. Here is just all in. But why? Well, when you analyze this, you begin to realize the powerful ministry of John the Baptist. Not only did he baptize with water, but he preached Jesus as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was a very wise and determined preacher. He did not preach himself. We learned that last week. He was humble. He said, Christ must increase, I must decrease. He was one who did not promote himself at all, but he did preach the Lord Jesus with great clarity. And as the Lord came into the midst, he pointed and he expounded, behold, the Lamb of God. You'll see that in verse 29. You'll see that again in verse 36 and verse 34, the Son of God. And so he introduced his hearers to the Savior. And these two men, Andrew one of them, these two men who were now disciples of John and repented of the world and wanted a life change in that way, they realized it's not enough to be a disciple of John. And they were convinced that they needed to be united to and to be followers of the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, it was no accident that the Lord showed up when John was at the Jordan baptizing. That was all in the prearranged mind of God. And when John was baptizing, Christ came right into the midst. And then John just kept hammering the one note, behold the Lamb of God. Get your eyes on him. See Christ. Look to him. Put your trust in him. Behold the Lamb of God. And of course, in using that title for the Lord, we can only suspect that John went on to expound that Christ died on the cross, suffered, bled, and died, and that he is the substitutionary Savior who took the sinner's place. And as these men heard these things of Christ, they were moved and drawn, and they became disciples. I want to ask you today, what is it that makes you a disciple of Christ? What is it that makes you a Christian? Why do you call yourself a Christian? Why do you want to follow him? Why do you want to obey him? Why do you want to be a child of God? Is it because you have learned that Jesus is the Lamb of God who died in your place and suffered in your place? And as they heard about the person of the Lord Jesus, they learned of the remedy for their sin, and they learned of the forgiveness of sin and the grace of God that was in the Lord Jesus. And these men became debtors to grace. They became aware that on that cross, Christ bore it all. All my sins were laid on him. All the wrath of God, all the hell that was due to me, Jesus suffered and bore in his own person upon that cross. And of course, I could never pay a penny for my salvation. That would be works. That would be contrary to the gift of grace. Christ paid it all. But now that I am redeemed, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. This life is not now just to be sown to the flesh and to the whim and fancy of human desires. As a Christian, as one washed in the blood of Jesus and saved by sovereign grace, I am now a debtor to grace. A debtor to grace. That's the motivating influence. We sang that hymn, and I have to confess it's my favorite hymn. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? He left his Father's throne, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. For, oh my God, it found out me. And when you become amazed at God's grace, the providence of it, the power of it, well, as C.T. Studd put it, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Does that resonate in your heart today? Is that why you're a Christian? Is that why you want to worship him? Is that why you want to make him your all in all? That he is top priority and you are his disciple today, whatever the cost. That's the discipleship that we find right here. The motivation was Jesus is the Lamb of God. And I am a debtor to grace. And anything else, monetary gain, you know, the prosperity gospel that this world is plagued with, the idea that if you follow Jesus, he has a great plan for your life to make you rich and famous and really do great things with you. No, those are not our motivations. Our motivations is that I was a sinner on the way to hell. I was guilty, and I deserved wrath. But my Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, suffered in my place. And as Isaiah 53 expounded it, that by his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray, and God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so knowing our indebtedness to the cross, the sufferings of the Savior, we're going to follow him. And we're going to answer the call to leave the world and follow the Lord Jesus. That's the motivation. Now the practical meaning, we get to verse 38 now. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? They were in for the long haul, and they wanted to abide with the Lord. Doubts were banished, and their confession is very, very clear that they wanted to be with Christ. They wanted to be close to him. And of course, that's the practical meaning of following. I want to be an obedient Christian. I want to do God's will. I want to leave the world. And I want to follow Jesus because I realize my absolute dependence and need of the constant abiding presence of the Savior in my life. Anything else is fleshly and worldly, is worthless, and I need the Lord in my life. That now is the practical meaning of following the Lord Jesus. Now we can see of Andrew's total satisfaction in the Lord Jesus, because down in verse 41, the first thing that he does, he calls his brother Simon Peter. Verse 40 says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41 says, he first findeth his own brother. It's the first thing he wanted to do. And having become convinced that Jesus is the Lamb of God, becoming a disciple himself, the first thing he wanted to do was to find his own brother and to preach the gospel to him. And he went on to say to him here in verse 41, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ.
This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak as we bring to you the Lord's Word here from the pulpit of our church, and as we plead with you about your soul's salvation, and that we each be soul winners to lead others to Jesus, that they might hear the good news of the gospel and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. The following taunting statement by an atheist made William Booth a zealous salvationist. If I believed that what you Christians say you believe about a coming judgment, and that impenitent rejectors of Christ will be lost, I would crawl on my bare knees on crushed glass all over London, warning men night and day to flee for refuge from the coming day of wrath. That little note is a well-recorded statement of William Booth. Do we really grasp the reality of eternal judgment, that sinners will stand before God without hope, without a Savior, and that they will have no opportunity at that time to seek God's salvation? It is now that is the day of salvation. Now is the day of acceptance with God. And so we need to be busy in God's kingdom, serving the Lord. Thank you for being a part of the program here today. Stay tuned for the few closing announcements that are coming up right now. We appreciate you joining
us. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air each day at this time, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., to bring you the message of God's Word, the Gospel, from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Now, here at the Free Presbyterian Church on Sunday mornings, we're looking at a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. We invite you to be a part of these messages as we lead up to the Easter season. As we think of Christ, our Redeemer, hanging on the cross, we want to know, why was he there? For whom did he die? And what did his suffering accomplish? These are the great issues of the gospel. And I invite you to come, bring your family and friends along Sunday mornings, 10:30, to our Sunday services here at the Free Presbyterian Church at 188 Street and 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, here in British Columbia. If you cannot join in person, you can also go to our website. Go to for our webcast, where you can view and listen to our messages on air. So join us Sundays 10:30 for these messages. Also Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. as we continue and finalize our messages on the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at heaven, looking at the glory for God's people. So join us here at the Free Presbyterian Church Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Now the website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak.